Richard B. of the Charlotte Mason Institute. We ask that you respect the copyright of this file, which is owned by the Charlotte Mason Institute and the Blue Orchard Bee. This file is for personal use only. You may share with family, friends, and colleagues, but you may not publish this information in any form, including electronically. Views suggested on these files do not necessarily reflect the views of either the Charlotte Mason Institute or the Blue Orchard Bee. Information here is not to be construed or received as professional advice in matters of mental health. You are encouraged to work closely with a mental health professional provider that meets your needs. Welcome to the Blue Orchard Bee. Don't forget that Danielle has reorganized the Blue Orchard Bee webpage on the Charlotte Mason Institute website. The Charlotte Mason Institute's annual Mason Educational Conference is coming up soon. We hope to see you online. Danielle is the curator of the Neuroatypical Track. Join her and others on 17 June at the online conference. You may also enjoy the panel discussion with young adults who have graduated from their Mason education and are now either in college or working. Join us on the evening of 17 June through 19 June on Saturday. In today's video, Danielle continues her conversation with Kristen Cook. Kristen shares her experience as a parent navigator in a school. While advocating for your neuroatypical children can be overwhelming, a parent navigator accompanies and assists the parents of neuroatypical children through the process of getting support services in a school. Let's listen to their conversation.
So what are you mentioned working with other families. So tell me a little bit about that kind of advocacy. What does, we have some parents in the school system and teachers that are going to be listening here that may not be familiar with what advocacy is.
I personally was what you'd call a parent navigator that helped you kind of navigate through the IEP process, coming in and working with your educators, not necessarily when something was wrong. It could be that just you want to make sure that your child has a really strong IEP or they're getting the accommodations that they need in place. It doesn't always have to be that you're bringing somebody in because everything is going wrong. I think that's a big stereotype. It's like the schools are after us and they're going to make everything horrible. There are a lot of really, really, really great educators that work very hard to support our children and to understand our children. And while I have run into some that are less supportive along the way, my job coming with families would typically be just to be that other set of ears listening out for things that sometimes we as parents miss. Even when I go to a meeting for my own son, I bring somebody because I'm just kind of in this other zone. And it's nice to have somebody say, well, wait a minute, what about this other thing? Or is it possible to accommodate this need by doing X, Y, or Z? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I would do coming into meetings with families.
Okay. What would you say are some of the biggest challenges that you have in going into those meetings or that you've seen?
I think that the biggest challenges that I have faced are typically with parents who haven't educated themselves about their child's rights. Who expect the sun and the moon and the stars from their kids' teachers, mm-hmm. but aren't putting any of the effort in to help support their teachers, you know, you don't just drop your kid off at the school and expect like miracles to happen and then not follow up on those things. Maybe you have to have a visual support schedule at home. Maybe you have to practice, you know, certain skills at home as well to reinforce them. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people just want to kind of take their kid to school and be like, okay, just going to do what you guys do over there. I don't understand why we're not making more progress. You know, it has to be a team effort.
Right.
Being a part of an IEP team is a team effort. And for some parents, things are really hard because you're going to have to educate yourself. You have to learn what the picture exchange system is, or you have to learn how to use the technology that your child is using to communicate, or you have to learn about the hidden curriculum of all of the things that the world we just kind of pick up on that maybe your kid is just not picking up on. You know, if I tell a parent, how did you know the principal was like this really important person? They were more important than the teacher. They were the head of the school. You just knew. Nobody like gave you a chart with hierarchy and went, okay, the principal oversees the teacher. Like, you just knew. You picked up on it by observing the things around you. Where my child would be like, y'all are all adults. Everybody's on the same playing field. Like, you're all the same level of authority. Why would it be any different?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember a principal asking my son, who was in charge? This was kind of one of the power trippy kind of educators we worked with. He was like, who's in charge? Who's responsible for this school? And my son was like, we're all responsible for the school. We're a community and we're supposed to take care of the school together. And I was like, he's not, he clearly was listening when y'all told him that this is a community, okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what had been expressed to him, that everybody is a responsible citizen, you know, and everybody plays a role in taking care of the school. And the principal was like, like, that's not the, he wanted him to be like, you're in charge because you're the principal.
Right.
But my son didn't see it that way.
Right.
And it was just one of those clear moments of, you don't get my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you just demonstrated that so well.
Mm-hmm.
And so in those moments, sometimes, you know, we have to be the educator and we have to be our child's voice. We don't have to be pushy or over the top. I always tell people they have to find that happy medium of where they're supporting their educators without being a pain in the butt. Because I feel like if you're like this person that is just nagging them and always on them and there's always something going on with you, mm-hmm. you are the equivalent of the parent that is at the opposite end that does absolutely nothing. Like, nobody wants to pay attention to you because you're so annoying or you're uninvolved. And so I don't even have to worry about you because you're not paying attention either. You have to find that middle ground and be involved just enough and know when you need to back off. My son would always act worse when I was there. So I had to figure out I could not be on every field trip.
Mm-hmm.
He was gonna like roll around in the floor and like yell, and it was gonna be a whole hot mess if I came, where if he went with his class, it was going to be great. Like, they were going to send me some pictures and be like, he had a great day. It was super fun. But if I came, it was over. Mom was here. Oh no. It was my ultimate comfort is here. I can just let it all hang out. Mm-hmm. So I had to accept that I couldn't be that mom that was there for every field trip.
Mm-hmm.
Did that suck? Yeah, a little bit. I wanted to be there. Right? I wanted to volunteer, but I found other ways to be a part of his classroom experience. I made visuals at home so that they matched in both places. I volunteered at other spaces within the school where he didn't see me. I was still a part of his school experience, but I just wasn't in the classroom or kind of in that space to distract him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of growing and learning about yourself and where you fit into that educational piece and being a part of your kids' team without being overbearing or uninvolved.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say are your kind of top tips then for the teachers that are listening? What could teachers be doing, or what do you think are the kind of the most important things that teachers could be doing for their autistic kids?
I think teachers should be doing the same things that parents should be doing. They should be tapping into autistic spaces and resources and finding out what they can do to be better educators. There are so many stories out there in the autistic community about educators that were great or educators that were horrible, where people felt like they were being talked down to, or they felt like they were the annoying kid in the classroom. You know, there's so much assumed with autism where people are like, well, they don't really understand others, or they don't read others. My son reads others so well. Like, he is so in tune with people, and he can tell when somebody is being, you know, annoyed or me. I can be having a bad day and he's like, what's wrong? Why are you grumpy, right? Did I do something? Like, and I think there's that piece where people think that they don't understand, and they do understand. And so it takes actually learning about autism, not just from some books, not just because you watched like the Temple Grandin movie or whatever it is, like you actually have to also be in tune in autistic spaces, listening to autistic voices to learn about autism.
Thank you for joining us today. We have one more video for this year, and then the Blue Orchard Bee will take a summer break. We will see you in a couple of weeks.